Today's shiur is Masecht Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Zayin. We will begin on Daf Lamed Vav on the Beis at the Mishnah at the bottom of the Amid. Says the Mishnah Sanhedrin Hoysuk Echatzi Goyren Agula. The Sanhedrin sat in a semi circle. Today Sheroin Azazah, in order that all the members of the Sanhedrin should be able to see each other. Posh Pshat, the way most Mefarshim explain the Mishnah, is that the Mishnah implies all the members of the Sanhedrin were supposed to see each other, and therefore they sat in a semicircle. Another Pshat is that they wanted that the Rosh Bezdin should see all of his colleagues, and that's why they sat in a semicircle, with him having been able to view all of his colleagues. This then of the Mishnah speaks both to the Sanhedrin Ketana of 23 members and the Sanhedrin Gedoyla of 71 members. The future dinim of the Mishnah that we're going to mention, learn in a moment, some of them only apply to Sanhedrin of 23 members. Furthermore, there is a machlokes rishonim how the Sanhedrin sat in the semicircle. Most rishonim are of the opinion, as we said, that the Rosh Bezdin sits in the middle of the 23 Dayanim. However, there are rishonim that suggest that the Sanhedrin had the head of the Bezdin sitting to the most right, and then all of the members sat after him according to their importance. Actually, the question really, I saw some Mefarshim say it depends, that in a Sanhedrin of 71 Dayanim, there was always a Rosh Bezdin. But in a Sanhedrin of 23 members, there wasn't necessarily always a Rosh Bezdin that there should be a question where it should sit. Furthermore, the Mefarshim point out that why couldn't we have a situation with a Rosh, where the Sanhedrin sat in a circle, if we're concerned that all the members should see each other, so why can't they sit in a circle? So I saw two pshatim, similar pshatim. One is because the Eidim and the Balei Din have to face the Sanhedrin as they say their testimony and their claims. And if the Sanhedrin will sit in a circle, obviously they'll have their back to some of the members of the Sanhedrin. Similarly, the concern would be that if the people sit standing in the middle, the Balei Dinim or the Eidim would have to leave the room, they wouldn't be able to leave the room, they wouldn't be able to leave because they would be enclosed in that circle. V'shnei sarfin dayanim amdil fneim, and there were two scribes, there were two court scribes there. V'kaisrim echmim v'echmim small, one stood at the right and one stood at the left. V'kaisrim derim mechayvim derim mezakin, and they recorded the arguments for conviction and for acquittal. Yehuda Mishloisha, there were three court scribes. Echakos Derim Mezakin, one wrote the reasons for acquittal. Vechakos Derim Chaim, one wrote the arguments for conviction. Veshloishi, and the third court scribe, Kos Derim Mezakin Derim Chaim, both of their opinions. So the way Rashi explains the Mishnah is that the Tanakhama holds that both there were two court scribes, each recording everything that was said, because according to Rashi, there must always be, according to all opinions, at least two people recording everything that was said. So according to Rashi, the Tanakhama holds it was the same individuals who were writing both arguments for conviction and acquittal, which Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rashi, is unsatisfied with, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, that could lead to a situation where if they're writing everything, they won't be able to write it properly. And that's why one court scribe specifically wrote everything for the conviction, one wrote everything for acquittal, and the third wrote everything. So you have at least two for every opinion. Other Rishonim have a different explanation of the Mishnah. And according to this explanation, the Tanakhama holds that there were two court scribes. one writing for conviction, one writing the arguments for acquittal, and according to him that is enough. And then Rabbi Yehuda says that's not enough, and therefore we had a third individual who would write everything in addition to each one, one writing acquittal and one writing conviction. Continues the Mishnah. V'shal ashur shal tamid chacham yosh lufnehem. This din of the Mishnah is only by bezin of 23 dayanim. Because as we learned and will learn, sometimes there's a situation where bezin comes to an impasse, or sometimes there's a situation in a bezin of 23 where, let's say, there's a vote of 12 to 11 for conviction, which, as we learned, we don't convict only with a majority of one. And in such a situation, they had to add dayanim to the bezdin. And the Mishnah is telling us that they had these three rows of Talmid Chachamim sitting in front of the bezdin. Kol echa ve'echan makamas mekoymai. Every person in the group, in these three rows, knew his place. And as Rashi explains, Rashi says that there were 23 people in each one of the rows. Rashi explains why. He says, as I just said a moment ago, in case Bezdin comes to an impasse, they keep on adding Dayonim until the number 71. So if we start now with 23 members to the Bezdin, we're going to need to have 48 people there for backup in case we need to add. So to have, says Rashi, two rows of 24 people in each row is inappropriate, because Rashi says that it'll turn out that we'll have a situation that the rows in which these people sat are longer than the row of the Dayanim. To have three rows of 16 is also inappropriate, because then you'll end up with a situation that the rows are smaller than the rows of the Dayanim. To have two rows of 23 Talmidim and one row of two Talmidim, Rashi also says is inappropriate, because you want to have each row with the same amount of people. Given that there was no other choice, that's why Rashi says there were three rows of 23 Talmidim in each row. Machlokes Rishonim, if these rows were also in a semicircle, or these rows could be straight rows. And therefore, Hutzel Lismach, if we needed to add a member to the Bezdin, and we want that the member of the Bezdin that we're going to add should be an individual who has smicha, Hutzel Lismach, if they add a member and they have to give him smicha, Samchim and Rishonim, they would take somebody from the first row. For the way most Rishonim explain the Mishnah, the rows, the seating in the rows was very specific. And every row, the first person in the row was the most significant individual, the most important individual, and so it went down to the end of that row, and then it started from the second row and further. And therefore, if they had to take somebody to add to the Bezdin, they took the first person from the first row, and now everybody moved up a seat. And therefore, Echad min Ashniya Bala Rishona. The first person from the second row now became the last person in the first row. And then Echem Neshlishis, and then the first person in the third row, now Bolol Rishonim becomes the last person in the second row. But not a missing an individual, because they're missing the person, a place from the third row. So Baralam Oid Echem Nakol, they would choose somebody from the community, and he was now sat down in the third last seat in the third row. He was placed back in where he belongs. Asking Ramanani Mili, from where do we know that they sat in a semicircle? So Mefarshim asked, of course they had to sit in a semicircle, as we just explained, that in order that they should be able to see each other. So some Rishonim explain that the Gemara is trying just to find a source for this din. Other Rishonim explain that the Gemara is saying that if the entire purpose is just that they should be able to see each other, they could have sat like the Hebrew letter Ches. Why specifically did they sit in a semicircle formation? Damakra, Surarech Agan Hasahar Ayesar Hamezek. Your navel is like a moon, is like moon shaped. Surarech refers to the Sanhedrin. V'lam nikashmai Surarech. Why is the Sanhedrin called Surarech? She is Sheves B'tiburoi Shel Olam. It sat in the center of the world. Based on Migdash, they sat in the Lishkas Hagozes, and the Lishkas Hagozes is in the center of the world, and therefore they sat in that moon shape, as the Gemara is going to say in a moment. Why is the Sanhedrin the center of the world? So Pash Pshat, because the base of Migdash is in the center of the world. Another Pshat is that the environment, the climate of the place of the Sanhedrin is a perfect climate, which lends itself to people having the proper clarity of mind to paskin the Dentaira properly. Another Pshat is that just like when a fetus is created, it starts from its midpoint and it spreads out, so too is the Sanhedrin considered the center of the world from which it spreads out justice, and that is the foundation of the world. Agan, why is the Sanhedrin called Agan? Shemigina kol olam kula. It protects the entire world. Asahar, shidoima lasahar. It's compared to the moon. Just like the moon, most of the time is only a half a circle. Most of the month, the moon is not visible as a whole circle. So too should the Sanhedrin sit in a a semicircle fashion. The Ben Yoyada explains that just like the moon, sometimes it's visible and sometimes it's not visible, so too the Sanhedrin. When the Beis HaMikdash was standing, it was visible. When the Beis HaMikdash is no longer standing, we no longer have the Sanhedrin. Al Yechzer HaMezek, it should not mix the blend, the proper blend, to teach us. Shem Hutzrach Echemem Letzes, if one of the members of Sanhedrin had to leave, Royin. Im Yesh Esmer Shloshim Kesanhedrin Katana, if there's still 23 members remaining, Yoytze, he may leave. Memlav, otherwise any Yoytze. Mefarshim explained that if the Aruch HaNes says, when the Maharaj says here that a member of Sanhedrin may not leave, it's only in a situation, it's only in a situation where it's not for Dvar Mitzvah. But if he's leaving for Dvar Mitzvah, certainly he may leave. How do we see here that 23 members have to be left? So Mefarshim explained that wine was typically diluted with a 2-to-1 ratio. 2 parts water and one part wine. Wine, of course, being the main ingredient. So if we want to be left with the proper amount of individuals, we should be left with 23rd, which is the closest number that 71 could be divided to. Another pshat that the Tosfos says is that Mezeg is begematria 50. So that means you should never have 50 people leaving, but it's not really 50. That means you should only have 49 leaving, which would leave you with 22 individuals. But if you were left with 22, that is a Bezdin Shakel. You can't have an even number Bezdin, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta. And that's why you're supposed to have 23. That's why you're supposed to have 23 members left in the Bezdin at all time. Bitnech Arimas Chitim. The Pasuk calls the Sanhedrin like a heap of wheat. Just like wheat, everybody enjoys. So too does everybody enjoy the wheat, because the wheat is the most important ingredient in the world. It's the most staple. So too the justice that the Sanhedrin provides to the world is so crucial for the existence of the world. Suga b'shoshanim. The pasuk continues the words Suga Shoshanim. Shafil Kasuga Shishanim La Yifritzim and Protus. Which Pashup Shat means that Klal Yisrael abstains from doing Averis even when there's just a very small rosebush, which is not a strong fence, preventing them from doing an Aveira. That's enough for them not to do the Aveira. And as Tosfos explains, Tosfos says, it refers to the Isser Nida, that as soon as somebody's wife tells him that she is a Nida, and that's what Pshat Suga B'Shoshanim, that she sees dam, which is red like a rose, he immediately stays away from his wife under those situations. And Tosfos goes on to explain that even though normally we know that there is an issa yichud for someone to be with a woman in a secluded place is in a secluded place with a woman that he's not allowed to have relations with, that issa doesn't apply by nida, even though obviously while someone's wife is a nida, he may not have relations with her. So Tosfos says, since ultimately that woman, he will be allowed to have relationship with his wife after she's no longer a nida, that's why he's allowed to be mesiyak with her. But as Rav Shach explains in the Sefer Avi Ezri, it's not to say that we start giving reasons when yichud is mutter and when yichud is not mutter. The Torah told us yichud is mutter with a nida, it's not mutter with other ervis. Tosfos is just giving us explanation. Another explanation is that the Torah's model for issa nida is imoy. Imoy is someone who he can never have relationship with. So too, a nida is not also because he could ultimately have relationship with her. But Tosfos goes on to explain that if one's kala was a nida when they got married and they therefore never consummated their relationship, under those circumstances, the halacha is he can't be misyachid with his kala. The reason being, because since he never had a relationship with her, we are concerned that he may come to do something inappropriate. Continues the Gemara. V'hanad amalei haminal Rav Kahana. This is what that apikoris said to Rav Kahana. Amritu nida sharli hud ba'adi gavra. We say that a nida could be misyachid with her husband. And the question is, if she eish bin oris for enema haveves, is it possible that fire should come in contact with wood chips and it won't burn? Isn't this a dangerous situation? Amalei, to which Rav Kahana responded, ha Torah hi ido aleinu. The Torah says to us, suga b'shoshanim. Shafil ke suga b'shoshanim. Even if it's a minimal fence, just like a rose bush, we don't have to be concerned with Yifritzu Protus. Klal Yisrael will control themselves appropriately. Rish Lakish Amar Mihacha, to teach us how Klal Yisrael follows the Torah. Kefelech Hariman Rakoseich. Afilu Rekonishabach. Even the people who are empty are Malayim Mitzvahs Kareemin, are full of Mitzvahs Kareemin. Which of course the Mepharshim say many Pshatim. It's hard to understand that how can we say every Jew, even those Jews who unfortunately do Averis, are considered Malayim Mitzvahs Kareemin. So I saw many Pshatim. One Pshat is that the Gemara actually is making a sarcastic statement. Here you have a person that's Reik. He unfortunately isn't doing mitzvahs, but those are the people who typically consider themselves Malayim Mitzvahs Kareemin, as if they're great. Another pshat is that we don't look at every Jew individually. If we start looking at every Jew individually, perhaps they aren't that great. What the Gemara here means is all of Klal Yisrael, if they're put together, then they're considered Malayim Mitzvahs Kareemin. The Ben Yoyada gives another pshat that there are two types of pomegranates. There are pomegranates that are naturally sweet, and there are pomegranates that, if they are left on the tree for a while, the sun will make them sweet. Klal Yisrael, even if you have people that are not naturally born tzaddikim, if they're exposed to Torah and mitzvahs, they will start doing the right thing. Another pshat that I saw is that the rimon is a very interesting fruit. In most fruits, the pit is inside the fruit, and the outside of the fruit is the edible portion of the fruit. On the other hand, a rimon, the pits inside the fruit are the edible portion, and the outside, the spiel, is not edible. To teach us that even though Klal Yisrael, some Jews on the outside aren't so great, but in the inside of every Jew, it's like a rimon, he's great. One more pshat is that Reikana Shebacha, if you have a person that considers himself reik, that he is not worthy, he is the individual that you should know is Malay and Mitzvah's Kariman, that they are, that is the one that is like a Riman. And one final pshat is that we know that the Torah tells us that the Kohen Gadol had to wear around his beged a Pamoin V'Rimoin. A Pamoin V'Rimoin are a bell. Why was the bell? Because we know the Gemara says that b'chol yoyim v'yoyim baskol yoytzes mechar choyriv v'am elahem oylehem lebriyos me'albayne shal Torah. Every day there's a baskol that comes out and cries out for us to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Question is, whoever heard that baskol? The answer is, the person who wants to hear that baskol hears that baskol. And that's the baskol that the bells that the Kohen Gadol wore on his beged remind us of. And that is the rimon. The rimon is that every Jew always has the opportunity to become a Baal Tshuva, to hear that baskol. Rav Zeirav Mehocha. The pasuk says, V'yorech esreich begodov, atik begodov el abaydov. There's even a wonderful fragrance coming from those that rebel, so to speak, against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mefarshim explain that is why Yitzchak wanted to give the brachas specifically to Esav, because Esav was in the category of Boydov, somebody who had rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why does Yitzchak want to give him a bracha? Yitzchak wants to give him a bracha because he has the opportunity to be about tshuva. And b'makom shebalei tshuva oimdim ein tzadikim gemurim yicholim lamoid. And that's why Yaakov specifically put on those begodim, those clothing that represent boigdov, that represent the ability for a Jew always to do tshuva. Because that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting from us. Says the Gemara, Hani bir yoni tava b'shvulusa Reb Zeira. There was people that acted inappropriately that lived in the neighborhood of Reb Zeira. Davim kavle keichad in hadal b'tiyosa. Reb Zeira would be nice to them in order they should return, they should do tshuva. Tava kapta rabbanon. The rabbanon was sort of upset at that. Kinoch nafshid Reb Zeira. When Reb Zeira passed away, Oma Edna, they said, till now have a charika katan saki tava boilon rachmei. They said, till now there was Reb Zeira who was short with burnt feet. The Gemara we learned in Masechta Bava Metzia, that Pehei tells us the story that Reb Zeira would jump into the oven every month to examine if the fire of Gehenim could still affect him, Chas V'Shalom. And one month, because the Rabbanim were upset with him, his feet got burnt. So these people that lived in his neighborhood said, as long as he was alive, he davened for us. Hash the man boy loy rachman. Now who will daven on our behalf? Hiruv b'lebayu of the tshuva they did tshuva. And as the Tver Shlom explains, the concept of this Gemara is gedolim b'tzadikim b'misosom yosim michayeyem. And therefore, a tzadik, even when he's not in this world, can accomplish more than when he's not in this world, and he davened for them on his behalf. Although I did see that the Rishash asked the following question. Moshe Rabbeinu, before he passes away, is concerned. when I was still alive. Mamrim hayisem es Hashem. You rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What will be now that I'm no longer here? Yet in our Gemara it seems that a tzaddik could do for people more when he's not here than when he is here. So how do we reconcile these two concepts? So the Rishashi answers as follows. There are two types of Rishon. There are Rishonim who are essentially good people. They just have taivas. They get caught up in wanting to do different averis. And then there are Rishonim who are apikorsim. Apikorsim is a much greater concern than this. Al-Gemar is referring to apikorsim. Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned for apikorsis. And that he was concerned what would happen after he was gone. Al-Gemar is now referring to apikorsim, and therefore the concern is less. Shal Shuris, we learned there were three rows of Talmidim. Omer Abaya, Shmamino. So from the way we understood our Mishnah, Kinaidi, when they start moving up the rows, Kulanaidi, everybody moved up one seat. V'lay Melahu. But why can't the person who was sitting in the second row say, Ara Ivna Yisivna Bereisha, until now I was sitting at the head of the row. Hashtam Yisivnli Bedanvi, now I'm going to sit the last in the row that I'm going to be moved to. Amar Abaya, says Abaya, Damrele Hochi, we tell him, Havizon of Larayas, it's better to be the tail of a lion, Valti Rosh Lashulam. However, I saw from Shlomo Zalman Orbach that he says that is not always the halacha. So that is not always what should be done. And when it comes to chinuch, sometimes it's actually better to keep a child in a class where he'll be the best in the class versus being the weakest in the class. Says the Mishnah. Ketzem ma'emenes ha'edim al edim nefashos. Exactly what did we tell the edim in a case of edim nefashos to discourage them from testifying falsely? Says the Gemara, Yimachnisanoisam, we would take him into the room, Umayayim, and we would tell them, Shemet Taimru, perhaps you're saying Eidus Ma'oimid, only based on an estimation, Umishmu, based on hearsay, Eid Mipi Eid, or even if the person you're repeating the testimony is an Adam Neman, is a trustworthy person, still it's not something that you saw yourself, and it's therefore not valid testimony. Shema, Yatem Yoidim, are you not aware? Shesefenu Livdak Eschem, as we're going to learn in the next parak, that we're going to test you, Bedrisha V'Chakira, with all these types of questions. Have Yoidim, and be aware, Shloike Dine Mominus Dine Nefashis. Dine Mominus and Dine Nefashis are not the same. By Dine Mominus, Oda Noisa Momin Umaskapaloi. By Dine Mominus, a person can make restitution. Din in the fashis, however, Din in the fashis, Domoi v'dams roisov, Tuluim by Tzayf Oilam. If Chas v'Sholom, somebody is murdered improperly, then that sin, that cannot be repaired ever. Shekem et sin v'chayin shaharag is ochiv, Shenemar, Demei ochicha tzayakim. Ena oim v'dam ochicha, doesn't say your brother, El Demei ochicha, Domoi v'dams roisov. All of his future generations that could have emanated from him. As the Mefarshim explained, Cain did not know exactly from where a person lives or dies, so when he attacked Hevel, he kept on hitting him until blood was coming out, even after he was dead, not knowing how he died. And that's why it says, Demei. And this continues with what they said to the Edom. Lefikach nivra adam yechidi. A person was created by himself. Lamdecha shekola menamed nefesh echtz miyisrael. If somebody, chas v'sholem, destroys one single life of Klai Yisrael, ma'al ova kosov ki le'ibet oylem molei, as if it destroyed the entire world. Kolokai nefesh echtz miyisrael. On the other hand, somebody preserves one life, ma'al ova kosov ki le'ibet oylem molei. And as Mefarshim point out, the Gemara says, Kalmakayim Nefesh. The main thing that we have to be concerned for our fellow Jew is his Nefesh. And as we're first going on to explain, and God continues the Gemara, Umnei Shalma Abrius, another reason, and as we're first explained, this wasn't said to the Edom, just once the Mishnah is discussing why people were created Yechidi, the Mishnah goes on to explain. It was is for the sake of peace. Shloyan Adam Lchaveri Abu Gadol Mavicha. In order, people should, one person should be able to not be able to say my father was greater than your father, because my father came from a different original individual person than your father. And furthermore, Shloy you are meanim Oimrim Habri Shuyas Shemayim Kasvashom. There are many gods. Lagad Lagad Losso Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu to teach us the greatness of Hashem. When a person makes many things in one mold, they're all identical. We're all created in the mold of Adam Arishin. However, nobody's the same as anyone else. Every person has to say, Bishvili Nivra Olam. It's because of me that the world was created. Mefarshim explained the word Bishvili is that a person should realize that every person has his own Shvil. Shvil is a path. Everybody has their own path which they have to serve Hashem, and all of everybody's path is an important path to accomplish what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants in the world. As Rabbi Aaron Kotler used to say, that's what we say in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. Ki zeicher kol ha-yitzur lefanecha bo. Ma'asei ish u-pekudasoi. What is pekudasoi? Every person has a specific tafkid in the world. Bishvili, he has to carve out the specific path of the world. The Sfarim also go on to explain. Kedushas Levi goes on to explain. A person has to recognize that when he does a mitzvah, does he not only bring credit upon himself, but he brings credit to the whole world. And Chas V'Sholem, if he does an Aveira, not only is he dragging himself down, but he's dragging down the entire world. And when a person recognizes the severity and the consequences of his actions, then that will prevent him from doing averus. Continues the Gemara. The Shemitah time. So the Adam perhaps may say, Ma'alon al-Tzarazais, if saying false testimony carries with it such serious repercussions, why should we say Adis? If you don't say testimony when you know, however, as the Aruch Hanukkah explains, the Mishnah continues to say, it's still too much of responsibility to help destroy wickedness in the world is an important mitzvah. Continues the Gemara, turn our bottom. What does it mean that we try to ask the Edom, maybe you said it just me, Oymid? We say to them, Shema Kachri Yisem, maybe all you saw was Shirotz Acher Chaver L'Churba, that somebody ran after someone else into a desolate place, Ratz the Machrov, and you ran after him. And you walked into the room, and Metzotzim Sayyid B'Yadoi, you saw the person running with a knife in his hands, V'Domim B'Taftif, with blood dripping from it, V'Horig M'Farper, and the victim laying in blood, Im Kachri Yisem, if that's what you saw, then Larisim Klum, you have not seen of the act of murder that you could say testimony to. Tanya, Arab Shim ben Shatach, Arab in the Chometz, Loshen Shvua, and Larisi Echad, Shirotz Ache Chaver El Chorva, I saw somebody chasing somebody else, Viratz the Achrov, and I ran after him, Viratz Saif Biyodoi, and I saw a knife in the hand of the pursuer, v'domoy metafte v'harg mefarper, v'domoy rosho mi'harg lezeh, who killed him. Farshim asked, where was the hasra? And the Farshim explained that the hasra was, that they gave him hasra before he ran after the victim, or he was a chaver, that the halach is that a chaver doesn't have to get hasra. V'matale rosho mi'harg lezeh, who killed this victim? Oyani oyata, it was either you or me, and I know it wasn't me, obviously. I could do nothing to you because I cannot say testimony against you. Shere Amr Taira, as the Torah said, Apishne Edim Yumasames. However, Hayodei Machshav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who knows the truth, Yipar Ma'isa Ish, he should take vengeance. Moshe Ish Aragas Chaveri, from this person that killed his friend. Amru Loizalzu Misham Achba Nachash V'Kisha Meis, until a snake came and bit him and he died. Ask the Gemara, V'Hai Bar Nachash, who is this person deserving of death by the bite of a snake? V'Am Rab Yosef V'Chein Tana De Bei Chizkiya V'Yoyim Shechar Beis HaMikdash, from when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Af B'Shabbat Sanhedrin, even though there's no longer Sanhedrin, Abba Mises Lai Batlu, the Abba Mises still exist. Says the Gemara Lai Batlu, for Batlu, certainly there's no longer Sanhedrin sentencing Abba Mises. Says the Gemara, Din Abba Mises Lai Batlu, the rule of Abba Mises has no longer stopped. Mishnah Schaif Skila, if somebody did an Avera for which there's a Chiv Skila, or he falls off the roof, because that was what part of the procedure of skila, where they threw the person after the skila off the building, or he's trampled by an animal, by a wild animal, which is similar to skila. Mishnah is chayiv sreifa. If somebody's mechayiv sreifa, or he falls into a fire, or he's bitten by a snake with the venom of the snake being like a fire. Mishnah is chayiv hariga. Somebody's mechayiv misa by beheading. Either he's given over to the government, who normally killed by beheading, or listen by love, who again typically they would behead their victims. Mishnah Chayev Chenek, either he drowns, or Mes Besernik, he dies from choking. So here this person was a murderer. The murderer's Misa is beheading. So why did they die, asked the Gemara, by the bite of a snake, which is similar to Sreifa? Answers the Gemara, Amri, Hahu Chet Achrit Avabei. He really had another Avera, for which he was Mechuyiv Sreifa. Domamar, as we're going to learn later in Amasechta, Mishin Eschayiv Shtei Mises Bebezdin, his son is Mechuyiv two types of Mises, we give him Nidim B'chamura. And since he had two Averis, he got the Oynish of Mises Sreifa, which is the more serious Misa. Interesting tshuva, in the tshuva Chassam Sofer, where he was asked by a Chevra Kedisha, where somebody died in one of these types of death that our Gemara just mentioned, which seems to indicate that that person died because of a Mises, because he was Mechuyiv Misa. Should that person be buried in the cemetery, or should he be buried in a separate area? For we will learn later in a Masechta that somebody who's Mechuyiv Mises Bezdin is not buried in the cemetery, is buried in a separate area. So Chassam Sofer answers as follows. He says to the Chevra Kedisha, if you have a minig that that is what's done when somebody dies that type of death, you should continue doing so. However, if there is no minig like that in place, you don't have to bury him in a separate place. We find that people who, even though they weren't Mechuyiv Misa, sometimes death died that type of a gruesome death. He uses Rabbi Kiva as a raya. Rabbi Kiva and the Sarah Ruge Malchus that we speak about in Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av in the Davening certainly died gruesome death, but they certainly were not individuals who Mechuyiv Misa's Bezdin. Ma'amid, they begin to ask the Edim, did you base your Edus on conjecture? Ask the Gemara, but Dine Nefashis Hula Adam Dinen? Is this unacceptable testimony only by Dine Nefashis? Ha, but Dine Mominus Am Dinen? It would be acceptable by Dine Mominus? Come on, whose opinion is this? Kirv Acha. The Tanya of Acha Omer. Gomala Oicha Ben Agmalim. If a camel was seen mating amongst other animals, the Nimtza Gomel Harug Betsidoi, and there's another dead animal found next to him, B'yaduish Zeh Hargoi. That's proof that the first camel killed it, even though it's only circumstantial evidence, and it's accepted. Says the Gemara Ultameich, if according to you there are totally different rules for Edis by Dine Mominis from Edis by Dine Nefashis, Eid be Eid, Diktani. Our mission mentioned that ABP aid is unacceptable testimony. Would it be Bedina de Foshus Hudloim Rinan? That's only unadmissible by Dina de Foshus, or Bedina Mominus Amrinan? It would be acceptable by Dina Mominus. But Nan, Omar, who Omarly Shni Chayvla, we learned in the Mishnah that if the aid said, I only know about this through hearsay, Ish Plaini, Omar Shechayvloi, Loi Hodaloi, Shuchayv, Loi Amaklum, it's not considered valid testimony until the aid says, "B'fanenu hoydoloi shuchayv le'masayim zuz." He clearly admitted in front of me. Ama, so we see, afgad b'sinalei b'dinim mamnis. Even though some of these types of testimony are also unacceptable b'dinim mamnis, amrina l'b'dinim nefashis. We still mention it again in our mishnah by dinim nefashis. Hachinami afgad b'sil b'dinim mamnis. Even though conjecture is not valid testimony by Dina Mominus, Amrilam Bedina Nefashis, our Mishnah repeats it by Dina Nefashis. However, the Paiskim seem to indicate that the rules of testimony by Dina Nefashis and the rules of testimony by Dina Mominus are indeed different. And the Mefarshim explain the reason they're different is because there's a halacha that we've learned by Dina Nefashis that if 100 Adam come to say testimony regarding one situation, there's a, the Torah says the words apishnei edim apishloish edim yumas ames, and we learned that why does the Torah have to speak about shloish edim? Two edim are also enough edim to teach us the halacha the edish shabatla mktsas batla kula, that even a part of the edis is disqualified, it disqualifies the entire group. But that is halacha that is set strictly by dinei nefashis, not by dinei mominus, and therefore the Gemara distinguishes, and the halacha distinguishes between dina nefashis and dina mamnis. And therefore, for example, I saw the Paiskim say that let's say we saw through a video camera, there's a store that has a closed circuit video system, and they see on a video how someone stole from someone else, how somebody shoplifted, the halacha is that would be admissible testimony for a dina mamnis. It would not necessarily be admissible. It would not be admissible by Dina Nefashis. I saw interesting Shaila that Yitzhak Zilberstein discusses. He discusses a situation where there was somebody who, there was a wedding, and there was a large group of people under the chuppah. And therefore the two people who were Edim could not exactly see the entire act of Kedushin, the Chassam putting the ring on the Kala's finger, etc. But they saw it through the video camera of the person taking videos under the chuppah. Would that be considered valid Eidei Kedushin? Because the question is, does Eidei Kedushin just require that the two Eidim be aware that the Chassan was Mekadosh the Kala? Or does Eidei Kedushin require that the Eidim actually see the Maisei Kedushin? And here they didn't see the actual Maisei Kedushin, they only saw a video, they only saw a picture of the Maisei Kedushin. And therefore he suggests that they do over the Kedushin properly in front of the Eidim. Continues the Mishnah, have a Yoidim. We should be aware that if somebody, what the repercussions of saying this testimony. And the Gemara goes on to talk, the Mishnah went on to speak about Cain killing Hevel. Amr Yehuda b'Reid Rav Chiya, Melamed she'asa Kain b'Hevel Ochiv Chaburus Chaburus. He made in Hevel many different wounds, p'tzias p'tzias, because shlo ha'yedeya meheichen neshama yoitza, because he didn't know exactly where how kill a person achigilat tzavari until he slit his neck. And the Mashal explains that's why we understand that the Pasuk says that Cain was given two punishments. One punishment was nor v'nor tia ba'aretz, and also a punishment ki savores hadoma leitosif teitzlecho. He was punished financially that he would have to work hard. Explains the Mashah. Because what happened here was, says the Mashah, first he wounded him. For wounding, as we know in Parshas Mishpatim, the Torah tells us, his chayiv momen. And that's why he got the oinish, o kisavretz adoma, leisoysef, teis, leicha. And for killing him, he got the other einish of galus of nav nod tihya ba'aretz. Continues the Gemara. V'amar Yehuda b'Reid Reb Chiya, v'yoyim shepasucha aretz es piya, from the time that the earth opened up its mouth, the kibbles l'adama shel hevel, and absorbed the blood of hevel, and as Tosfos explains, it was completely absorbed into the ground with no impression left. Shuv loy pascha. Shnam mikaf aretz miro shemanu tzvil tzadik. V'knaf aretz, from the edge of the earth do we hear, but no longer do we hear mipia aretz, from the mouth of the world. Esve chizkia achiv, ask chizkia's brother, the pasuk says by kairach v'tiftach haaretz es piha ama rebchia. L'ra pascha, it opened up l'ra, however l'toiv, for good, loy pascha, it never opened up its mouth again. And Tosfos says, a very interesting Tosfos, because of Meknaf Haaretz Zemiris Sha'amanu, that's why B'nai Eretz Yisrael don't say Kedusha only on Shabbos. So the pasuk says, "Sheish knafayim laechod." Every knaf says one day shira. On Shabbos, there's no longer a knaf left over to say shira, and that's why we Klaisol say shira. And the farshim explain we do say kedusha every day. So they explain that the kedusha that we say every day, we don't say keser. It's interesting that the Ragged Shover makes a distinction between the Nusach of Kedusha of Sfard and Ashkenaz. Nusach Sfard says, K'noyam siach soy tsarfei kodesh hamashal shlem l'cha Kedusha. Ashkenaz says, Nekadesh ishimcha ba'olam k'shem shemagdishim oisoy v'shmei morim. Says the Ragged Shover. Somebody who's davening Nusach Sfard, he says, he's being Mekadosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like the Malachim are Mekadosh Hashem. K'noyam siach soy tzarfei kodesh. The Nusach Ashkenaz says, K'shem shemagdishin ha'yosu b'shmei moroim. That we're not saying that we're Mekadosh Hashem, we're only saying that the Malachim are Mekadosh Hashem. Says the Ragged Shover, that Nusach Ashkenaz reflects what Tosfos says, and that Tosfos says that during the week only the Malachim are Mekadosh Hashem, not us. Nusach Sfard reflects that we're Mekadosh Hashem ourselves both during the week and on Shabbos. Ve'amar Yehuda b'Reid Reb Chiya, Golos Mechaperes Avoy Mechtza. If somebody goes into Golos, the severity of his punishment is diminished by half. Why? Mikarksiv. Originally it says that Hashem said to Cain, Vayisa noid v'noid. Uksiv yishyeh v'eshem v'eretz noid. No was removed. Amar Yehuda, Golos mechaperes ha-shloshet dvorim. Shenema ha-yoyshe v'ir ha-zois. Yomas b'char v'rov v'dever. V'yoyts v'nof al-akazim ha-tzorim aleim choya. V'hoysa nefesh l'choyal. The Navi is telling Klai Yisrael that by going into Gelis, they will save themselves from all of these punishments. Rabbi Yochanan Magolos Mechaperes Lakol. Shnei Mekoy Hashem Kisvo Yisish Azeh Riri. The pasuk says that Hashem said regarding Yechonyo that he will die without children. Gever Lo Yitzlach B'yomav K'lo Yitzlach Mizari Ish Yoshev Akisi David Amosh Oy V'Yehuda. That he will not have any children. Abbas the Gol Iksiv V'nei Yechonyo Aser Shaltiel. Aser, and the Gemara explains these names, Shibritai Ime Beis Asurin. His mother conceived him in prison. She was take the prison that she could have relations with her husband. Shatil Shashosul Kael Shaloi Kader Khanishtolim. She conceived not in the normal way. Why? Because Gemiri, we know Sha'ani Isha Misaberas Mu'ubun. Typically a woman cannot conceive when she was standing. This woman was so small, it was so cramped in the jail that they had a relations only when she was standing. Fihina Saberas Mumad, and she conceived in that position. Davach Shatil, Shanishal al Kosa Kel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, had his nether annulled because of the because of this, because of his act of going into Golos. So Bavel, Shenizra Bavel, he was conceived in Bavel, Umashmoy, and his name was Nechemya ben Chakaya Shmoy, his name was Nechemya ben Chakaya.